Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 372 of The Big Show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Oh, it's a Saturday night here, folks. We're recording 10:15 at night. We just finished watching my Final Four. Hey, you know, I know it's a hockey podcast, but I'm a gambler, and I love the March Madness. A little upset North Carolina couldn't cover the number. 9.5, lost by 13. Yeah. Oh, well, what can you do? Yeah, well, you know what I found out today, folks? Speaking of gambling, here in Saskatchewan anyway, with our provincial lottery, the Sports Select. Well, I'm sure it's in Western Canada, it's Sports Select. So for their American listeners, what are you talking about? It is a lottery. It's a sports betting lottery. We've had it since like the 90s, early 90s. You can go to 7-Eleven or wherever you, like how you guys pick up your Powerball. We have our lottos. Well, including in our, just not all, only our lottos, but we have like sports betting. And they're parlay tickets, minimum of 2 games, maximum of 6. And, I always laugh if they talk about betting on hockey and shit. Oh, that's bad MGM and DraftKings. That's bad for the league. We've been betting on fucking pro line since like 1991. So I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. But anyway, it's the gambling thing always cracks me up. Yeah, we've been betting on it for like 30 years. But okay, yeah, this is new shit. There's a whole city out in a fucking desert in the state somewhere that you've been betting on this shit since the dawn of time, so, but okay, be outraged. Anyway, what was I saying? I haven't had 12 beers tonight. So I found out today on the Sports Select, I could bet on WrestleMania 40. Yeah, I could bet on results, so of course I had to get a hold of my boy Dan Colachico there of formerly of the Obey the Puck show. He's my wrestling guy. I was like, hey, cause, you know, I mean, I love my wrestling, but of course, like, much like hockey, I haven't watched any current shit. I watch all the old stuff. I'm watching NWA from 87, you know, Nikita and Magnum. But, Midnight Express, Jimmy Cornette. So I said, hey, what's going on here? Who's winning this, Ripley or Becky Lynch? So he gives me the Becky Lynch. I'm like, oh, goddamn, she's almost 4-1. I'll bet on that. So I bet $25 of Becky. Ah, she lost. But I'm just laughing. You're betting on scripted. Now, I don't want to say fake, because much like a wrestler back in the day, when people tell me wrestling's fake, that bugs me. Wrestling is scripted. It's not fake. When I say that, it's because those bumps hurt. Those backdrops and all the moves they take, those hurt like shit. So that's not fake. So it's not fake. It's scripted, choreographed, whatever you want to call it, but it's not fake. So I lost that one. So I told Dan he's going to have to PayPal me the $25, but But apparently WrestleMania's like 2 days now, like Saturday and Sunday. So I said, well, shit, give me some picks for day two then, and we'll go from there. I'm betting on WrestleMania, our times, not that I'm a degenerate or anything. Yeah. Well, folks, what's happening? Here we are, Sunday night. Know your recording schedule. It's Saturday night for Sunday's episode. Yeah, I haven't had too many beer. Yeah, no, we barbecued today. Well, finally, we got some plus temperature weathers. It's been nice out. The snow in my yard is almost gone, which is very nice because I walked it 2 weeks ago. Shit, a couple corners of my yard, I had snow up to your friggin' waist. I can see lawn now, so I'm happy about that. The only snow left is around my fence, so. No, I was barbecuing tonight and looking out the yard and lawn and looking forward to spring. That's the thing in Saskatchewan. Spring lasts for about 6 days, and then we just go right into summer. But I don't give a, whatever, spring, summer, I don't give a shit. Just get rid of the snow. Although, I have to say, to be completely honest, in Saskatchewan terms, we had the easiest winter that I can honestly remember. We had the blizzard at the end there in March, which sucked. But up till then, I mean, when you say Saskatchewan and you had a brown Christmas, I was standing on lawn for Christmas. Normally, snow's up to your knees. So, yeah, so no snow by Christmas was unbelievable. And we had like 2 weeks of like the minus 40 bullshit. And other than that, this is the easiest winter ever in Saskatchewan terms. Like I said, we got the shit at the end, but we didn't get a lot of snow. And no, it was good. I was down with it. If we had winters like this every year, I would bitch so much about winter. Regardless, I hate snow. And as soon as I retire, I'm never seeing it again. But anyway, hey, welcome to the Fourth Line Voice. What'd you tune in for? I'm actually arguing online right now on Twitter. I was getting into it with a few Habs fans. It's been fun. Yeah, we'll talk about apparently, well, all the hot topics. I mean, if you're going to talk about 2024 fighting, we got to talk about Rempe. We got to talk about Reeves because apparently they're terrible. And, you know, because what do I always say here, folks? Nobody hates fighting more than fight fans. So, yeah, we're here for that. Tony apparently thinks I'm shitting on players. And, you know, Tony, I mean, it's a bit, man. It's some comedy. I don't know. We'll talk about that. Hey, I got my notes here. My trip to Edmonton, I was in the City of Champions this week. Yes, I will regale you with some vacation talk. And get, you know, I got a list. I got a list, folks. And you know who sent me the list? That's right. Tim. List guy Tim sent me the list. So he sent me the link on Twitter. And he's like, it's a YouTube video. It's a top 100 toughest guys of all time. And you know what? I didn't click on nothing. Tim, I'm going with you here. I'm going to open it up today on the air. And we're going to watch this YouTube video. Apparently, you say it's a gem. So, I'm running with Tim here. So, I got more cans besides, I picked up some cheap rolling rock in Alberta. Oh, it's the Pride of St. Louis, boy. Old Latrobe, 33. There we go. So, hold on, I moved my shit out of the way here. Am I even loud today? I was looking at my equalizer. It's actually really loud. Get a few in you and my voice. Got some bass in my voice tonight, folks. All right. Well, before we get going, I have to talk about being a member of the Hockey Podcast Network because, I mean, that's what afforded me my trip to the City of Champions. That's what in Edmonton. Wild Rose Country, if you will. You know, I went through Lloydminster, hometown of Kent Staniforth. That should be a sign out front, I'm telling you right now. But I went to Edmonton. But in order to get, I got the gold card from the network and stayed at the Best Western Jacuzzi Suite. So I sat in the Jacuzzi Suite, cracked my beers. I wondered what the poor people were doing. And, you know, I said, well, at some point I'm going to have to, I'll record here and, you know, I'll share my experiences with the people. So, well, here, I'll, to you guys. Here we go. Cheers. First in this hand. Took advantage of Alberta liquor prices. Not as cheap as it used to be, I'll tell you. But compared to Saskatchewan, everything's a bargain these days. That's why I need you listeners to download and not stream. Because that's how Darren gets paid. And with the cost of things these days, I can't afford streamers on this, listening to this. I need downloaders. So please download. Don't, and actually, in all seriousness, that's how we do get paid. So, not only myself, but Joe and TR and the rest of the crew at the Hockey Podcast Network would appreciate if you downloaded. But, you know, you're listening to me, so think of Darren. Think of Darren. Have a few beers. How obnoxious can you sound? That's the key to all this. I should get on the phone right now. I should start phoning people. I should phone that Searson. Apparently Searson over in the UK, he's baseball. Searson's all of a sudden apparently Crash Davis over there, and he's joined up on the baseball team, that, you know, the Nottingham Drillers or whatever the hell they're called. And, you know, I think he's going to be hitting leadoff for him. And, yeah, hit him where they ain't, bro. This fucking guy, he'll go and fight, he'll box for charity and everything else. And I mean, you know, and I've seen Searson. And, you know, I'll give him credit for getting into a boxing ring. Because have you ever seen the guy fight? I mean, dude's finished third a bunch of times. You know, and he's got a real punchable face, but, you know, in the name of charity, he got in the ring and, you know, and boxed. But now all of a sudden he tells me he's scared of getting hit by a baseball. Are you serious? Nah, you get in there. He's, I think he'll be hitting leadoff for the Nottingham, Mud Hens or whatever they're called, whatever that mud show baseball league is over there. But, I think he'll be a solid leadoff guy in no time, old JS there. But, Searson, hope you and Paul, you guys, all the UK folks, I hope you guys are doing well. I'm just fucking with you, but, I gotta get you cats on the line is what I gotta get you back on the show. Yeah. We need some more European flavor over here. You gotta bring some of that, British, classiness to the show. You know, after I had Robert on from Texas there, it really fell off. Yeah. Show's starting to look a little kind of like a Dollar General, you know, a little Waffle House-ish. Yeah. So I need to bring back some aristocrats, you know, not so much Searson, maybe somebody with some class over there, you know. We'll see how it goes. What am I talking about anyway? Oh, seriously, playing baseball. I love it. But please download, don't stream. If you happen to be on social media, I don't know why you would do that to yourself. But check me out on Twitter. I'm fighting on Twitter right now, or X, as the kids say. Instagram, I'm not really much on the gram. I am on the Instagram, but yeah, other than posting my episodes, I'm not a real big gram guy. Facebook, that's where all us old farts hang out. Fourth Line Voice on Facebook as well as Twitter. My DMs are open if you want to get a hold of me. If you want to tell me how bad this episode was, feel free. If you want to email me, hockeyfights@hotmail.com. Always send me an email. Just tell me what's going on, what's happening. If you want to come on the show, let me know. I'm always looking for guests. If you have a story to share, if you're a fight fan, come share your experiences. What got you into the fights? Who do you like? Who do you not like? What fights have you seen? All that sort of thing. Let me know. But yeah, as I said, I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast. I went in complete reverse order, but that's all right. 100 shows in the network, all the NHL teams, there's podcasts for. I'm on the original content creator side, myself, Terry Ryan, Ted Hitchcock, as well as Joe Lozito over at the Coliseum Chronicles, who just had Mike Walken on. He is an enforcer. He's not an enforcer. He's an agent player agent, as Joe calls him, the enforcer's player agent. I'm not going to lie. I have not listened to this episode yet. Not because I'm not going to. I will. I listen to all of Joe's stuff, but I'm going to put it in the truck on. I'm going to put it on. Have I really had that many that I can't speak? I'm not being very eloquent tonight. Or am I normally eloquent? I don't know. Anyway, I will listen to Joe's stuff in the truck on Monday. But yes, check it out. Joe's got a tremendous back catalog. Gillies, Todd Ewan. Do I need to sell you on Lazito's show? Because, I mean, anybody that listens to my show, I'm sure there's a crossover effect. And, I did hear early on in Lazito's show, he's talking about next year in the Western Hockey League, he's going to come to Saskatchewan. He wants to fly to Saskatchewan. I'm going to tell you, I'm not lying right now. I'm going to say, as I sit here right now, if I hear Joe Lazito is coming to Saskatchewan, I am phoning immigration. And I hope they meet him at the Saskatoon airport and put him back on the plane and immediately send him back out of the... We do not need that type of element here in Saskatchewan. It's certainly not in Martinsville. I'd invite him to my house, but you know what the problem would be? I'd be ostracized by my neighbors. And I gotta live here. Yeah, he gets to leave. I gotta live here with these people. You know what that brings to your reputation? When Lazito comes around? With that New York attitude? Oh, shit. Oh, I'd be kicked out of the Homeowners Association. It would be a bigger scandal than when Kramer went barefoot in the clubhouse at Boca del Vista. Yeah, I mean, we can't have Lazito in this neighborhood. No, drive property values down. Oh, yeah. So, Lazito, stick to Ontario, all right? Don't be coming out to Western Canada here and spreading your effluvia, your New York attitude around here. So, and then I hear, oh, I got to send them all dressed chips now and ketchup chips. Well, I'll tell you what, Joe, I know you're listening to this. If you stay out of Saskatchewan, I will send you all dressed chips you could eat. Because, I mean, that would cost me far less than what would happen here to my property values if the Lazitos start coming around. Oh. Could you imagine? That'd be worse than harboring a fugitive, I'm telling you now. But anyway, Coliseum Chronicles. Give it a listen. Sure. Oh, here. Why are these out? Why are the scissors just lying around? Come on. Okay. Well, I mean, I should probably hit you with the ad read now. DraftKings. Hey, Purdue, UConn, March Madness, final Monday. Sign up for DraftKings. I'm going to say that's actually going to be a good game, but I think UConn is going to take him. Bet a little money on UConn on the money line. I think you'll walk away with some cash. But promo code THPN. No, I mean, I always say that, and in all seriousness, we joke here, but I've had a few people over the last year and a bit get a hold of me, and they. Every once in a while, they kind of bitch about the ads. The ads. I'm like, well, there's one. Let's calm down. Sometimes two. You know, every once in a while, Raycon throws us some cash. But overall, it's just DraftKings. And honestly, folks, that's what keeps the lights on. That's what keeps the network going. That's what keeps the couple of the workers employed. They get paid. And that's what gets us paid. So... there's going to be ads in the show, unfortunately. And, for list, I know it pisses you off. It's like when you go to YouTube, right? You want to watch something and there's a video on there and hit skip or whatever. Well, you got to get paid somehow. And that's where the revenue comes from. So, I mean, I get it. I've been there too, but, as I say, bear with, but, if you are going to gamble, again, I'm not trying to be pro-gambling, but I'm not trying to force anybody into it. But if you are going to gamble, it'd be cool if you went on the DraftKings app and used our promo code. Because like I said, it helps. Well, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I've never lied to you guys. I've always been honest with the listeners. That's how we get paid. And that's our main sponsor of the network is DraftKings. Them's the facts. So if you're going to gamble, please go on the DraftKings website. When you sign up, use the promo code. You get a really good deal out of it. You know, I mean, I'm just trying to get you guys a bonus. That's all. And with that bonus, it helps us out. So, you know, fuck me, I guess. So, but anyway, that's the way it is. So, everyone's throwing out everything nowadays, but, like I always say with you guys, I mean, that's, I've always wanted to be honest with the listeners, and I always say download those. I mean, it's not a bit. I mean, I like to joke around on the show, obviously, and whatever, but no, I mean, when you download, that's how we get paid. That's how they look up how many listens we get, and we get paid per listen, and they break, the DraftKings sends the network some money, and that's how they break up the money amongst the shows. So, that's why, not just for myself, but for any show, that's how they get, because when you stream that, they can't count it. So, download and, hey, DraftKings is getting me paid. So, and everyone else. So I'm not gonna, you know, I like I said, I'm honest with what we're doing here. So, so I'm going to hit you with that. And on the way back afterwards, we got a list and we got lots of stuff to talk about. But first, here are the sponsors.
And now here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is plus +330. Oilers, the favorites, Stanley Cup futures ticket, plus +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at plus +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
All right, here we go. We're at the 20-minute mark. Haven't talked about anything yet. Well, I guess first things first. Here, let me play some vacation slides for you. No, I had on Monday, worked a little bit in the morning, and then we headed out to Edmonton. Spent 3 nights. I came home on Thursday. Yeah, I always enjoy Edmonton, the City of Champions, as it's been nicknamed, with the Oilers, of course. I hit up you gotta hit West Edmonton Mall, right? That's the big thing. And had a good time. Went to the West Edmonton Mall, the second largest mall in North America, behind the Mall of America in the United States, in St. Paul's, but largest mall in Canada. Bounced around there. I mean, you know, but went to the casino, lost some money there. My wife and I both lost some money there. They have a little gimmick at the food court. Well, they have a food court, Harvey, you know, A&W and all that shit. But they also have a little kind of strip. They call it Bourbon Street. That's where all the restaurants are. Like, Hooters was there. And, whatever, Boston Pizza, blah, blah, blah. But there actually is a place called Five and Dive. They apparently have live music there on Friday. They didn't have live music when we were there, but Friday and Saturday. But yeah, it was really quiet when we were there. We were there in the, like, kind of middle of the day, but, no, it was cool. Had some, some pretty, cheap appetizers, whatever cheap means nowadays, but, had some nachos, get up with Supreme, had $5, on tap, whatever their lager was. It was a homemade lager. It was pretty good. Yeah, but overall, liked the place. Waitress was really good. If you go in the afternoons, pretty cheap stuff there at the Five and Dive. Kind of a cool thing. They Clash and Kiss and the Sex Pistols and the Ramones, and they had all the posters up on the wall. And it was just kind of a cool little, kind of a little gimmick that they had going. Check that out. And if you're in West Edmonton Mall, had fun there and bounced around for a few days. Unfortunately, friends were busy. Didn't get a chance to see my boy Kevin and stuff, but I know he was under the weather, but I'm sure here when they come back out to Saskatoon here, we'll have him over. But other than that, I always enjoy my time in Edmonton. We actually stayed at the Best Western. I believe it was, the Cedar Inn? I believe it was. Right beside Peter's Drive-Thru, of course, the famous Peter's Drive-Thru in Calgary that's been there since the 50s or 60s or whatever, but they opened up a second. I know Harrison Harper hates it in Edmonton, but actually we went in. It was not bad. Was it as good as the original? Probably not, but was not bad. Did not mind it. It was good. The hotel room, on the other hand, I mean, we kind of worked some Best Western points or whatever. My wife books all that shit. I'm not really up to date on the, she's got all the gimmicks of the card and loyalty points and all that shit, air miles and all that stuff. She knows how to use all that shit. But, so we check in, we get there at about 5:30, 6 o'clock, we check in, and they tell us, oh yeah, by the way, tomorrow afternoon, the water's going to be shut off from like 11 to 6. What? We have no water? Like, well, it's kind of defeats the purpose of a jacuzzi room, but they're like, yeah, and then afterwards, if it's brown and stuff, don't worry about it, it'll work itself out, and it's like, oh yeah. So we go upstairs and, go into the room. The room was clean and everything. And it's jacuzzi. So the first night, whatever, we bounce around, had a few drinks. I was hanging out in the jacuzzi tub and, okay. But then we're like, well, there's no water tomorrow and stuff. So my wife got online and there's another Best Western, I can't, wherever it was, but she booked the jacuzzi room there. And so we went and checked, stayed the night. And then the next day we checked out at 11 and went over to the other Best Western and they allowed us to check in early, and it was a jacuzzi's thing there. And the room was a lot better. We'll put it there. We have stayed at this place too. The room was a lot better, really clean, big room, jacuzzi, the whole nine yard, big TV, the whole nine yards. So, and it was like the same price as the other place. And we had water So, whatever, room was good. And it was just a good time there. We went to South Common and shopped and stuff. And I've always said with the shopping, I mean, that's the one thing here in town. I mean, you probably wouldn't catch me for more than 10 minutes in the mall here. Cause it's like, yeah, whatever. I could count on one hand how many times I've been in the mall in probably the last 5 years, but like our big mall downtown. But other than that, I'm not a big shopper, but I will say, like, when I'm on vacation and shit, I'm away from work, you could talk me into shopping, I guess, because I really don't give a shit at that point. As long as I'm not at work, I don't care. And the wife has a few places she wants to hit and shop. Yeah, what the fuck, right? So, whatever. We did that, and hit a few casinos. When the last night we were there, we went to the River Cree, of course, home of, as I say, the first two Ice Wars. It's a native-owned hotel casino. That's really nice, actually. The River Cree is really nice. And I've always had my ass handed to me at the River Cree. But I managed to win about $100 this time. And the wife won over $500. Yeah, she had a really good night there. So, Basically, that covered our gambling losses from the other casinos, but basically covered the hotel room as well. So that was really cool to recoup some money and basically break even for the trip, so to speak. And so that was cool. And that was headed home. The weather was really great in Edmonton. The weather was nice, and driving home hit some rain, but overall it was the weather was good, and the traffic was pretty quiet, and had a good time in Edmonton. So yes, once again, Alberta. I'm not sure when I'll get back out. Probably in the summer when school's over, and the wife has free time. We'll probably like to get out to Edmonton a few times a year. So good times. But, I'm sure everyone's really excited to hear about my Edmonton trip. So there you go. All right. Well, you've been a great crowd. So we'll talk. No, I'm just kidding. Well, how about we get into this shit? Well, and I will say, while I was in Edmonton and stuff, I really didn't get on social media a lot. I didn't read up on a lot of things. Obviously, I saw the big lion brawl to start the game and with the Rangers and the Devils. I saw that. But I wasn't really following social media all that much. So I had to make up for it tonight. I like messing with folks and stuff. It's been funny. I don't know, what should we talk about tonight? Like I said, a few light topics, and then we'll get into old List Guy Tim's video here. Just hockey fans are funny. Of course, Montreal played Toronto tonight, and was it Michael Pinzotta, whatever his name is, ran some Leaf guy, late hit, whatever. But, later on, Reeves addresses it clean and drops the gloves and fights the guy and, dropped him, but whatever, Reeves picked up the W, we'll put it that way. Whatever. I laugh at all. And then, of course, online blows up. And, of course, the Leafs fans are pro Reeves. And the Montreal fans are, he beat up a lightweight. And, lightweight, the guys, whatever that means. But completely missing the point that the Montreal guy threw the late hit on the Toronto guy. That's why Reeves fought him. Reeves didn't, like I said, the ass kicking just didn't fall out of the sky. Like, Reeves just didn't pick a guy to fight. I mean, there was a reason why he fought him. Of course, old Wi-Fi wasn't in the lineup. He's the sheriff, apparently. He's called Montreal. He wasn't in the lineup. He was injured. So, of course, they're like, Reeves is acting tough because Wi-Fi isn't playing. And, of course, I had to comment. I'm like, so Ryan Reeves, the guy who's played 900 NHL games, is in his mid-30s, has fought everyone from McGrattan on down. He's scared of the fucking Costco fucking cart guy. Has Wi-Fi won a fight in the NHL? Seriously? I'm not knocking Wi-Fi, but I mean, goddamn. I mean, what heavyweight has he fucking beat? I said that, and of course somebody goes, he beat the brakes off of Maroon. Did he? So I go and look at, five helmet shots, and they're wrestling. That's a big, he beat the brakes off him, did he? Oh shit, Maroon will fuck it. He learned, boy, he'll never do that again against Montreal. What the fuck are we doing here? So the cart jockey from Costco apparently intimidates Ryan Reeves. I threw that one out. Old Tony, my boy Tony, he goes, you always say you don't shit on players, but that's what you're doing right now. Tony, I jokes. I'm working on a bit here. I'm workshopping it. Because first I could tell the folks that I was once a cart jockey at Costco way back when. So you drag a few carts through the snow at Costco and a Saskatchewan December and you'll figure it out. Stay in school, kids. I like Wi-Fi. I'm not knocking the kid. I'm just having some fun with the Habs fans out there. No, but I mean, the ones that are serious, like, they think Reeves is scared of this Wi-Fi. He sure avoided them. And I'm like, Ryan Reeves has played 900 games. He doesn't have anything to prove. So I don't think he's the one that has to really be instigating anything. Like, it's Wi-Fi is the one that should be chasing him. And when they did fight, he tackled him into a net. So I don't, that's not, he decisively beat Reeves, did he? And again, like somebody put up on Twitter, I didn't know this was a Leafs account. What? I'm like, oh yeah, I'm a Leafs account. Dude, I don't give a shit about any of this. I mean, I like Reeves, I like Wi-Fi, but the NHL sucks ass. I don't care. You know, it's a Leafs account. Sure. You know, yeah. No, I don't give a shit about any of this. But if you think Wi-Fi, you think Reeves is scared of Wi-Fi, you're high. At the same time, do I think the kid's scared of Reeves? No. But Pinzada, or whatever his name is, threw a late hit on the Leafs guy. Reeves has to address it. He did. To Pinzada's credit, he fought him. Took a couple, whatever, and life went on. You know, and again, I see on these groups, and it's like, well, I'll get to the Rempe thing in a second. Oh, fuck, I hate, yeah, fuck me. I'm talking about Rempe again. Like, somebody, this may as well be the Matt Rempe podcast. But, I mean, son of a bitch. I mean, all it is fight fans bitching about fighters. So Reeves fights tonight. He gets shit on for that. Well, okay, well, the Montreal guy hit the Leaf guy, so Reeves fought him the next shift or whatever. Should he not have? I know the other night Reeves fought Janot, you know, caught him with a good one, whatever, and he still gets shit on. It's like, what do you want? If you're, like, I don't get, like, fucking Reeves, he's at it again. Okay. So when he doesn't fight, he's useless. When he does fight, he's a spot pick. Blah, blah, blah. It's just, what? Like, that is the saying around here. Nobody hates fighting more than fight fans. It's like a bunch of fucking whiners. And then we'll get to the MSG brawl here. Also, the Rangers and Devils, the big rematch. Oh, Rempe, McDermott, blah, blah. Okay, well, they finally fight, whatever, and off the opening faceoff, and everyone's all excited. Oh, I love the one, though, when after they all fight, they're like, oh, I'm sure that pissed Bettman off. Yeah, Gary doesn't like that. What do you... I love that one. Bettman doesn't like this, and that's why they... Well, first, and that's why they all get kicked out, blah, blah, blah. Well, first of all, dipshit, I mean, Bettman isn't on the rules committee. So that, like, he had nothing to do with it. I've always said, Bettman's pro fight. When has Gary Bettman ever shit on fighting? I mean, I don't like Gary Bettman. I could give a fuck about commissioners, whatever, but it, if we're being honest, when is Gary Bettman shit on fighting? What, like I said, someone send me a quote or a video clip or of anything of Bettman shitting on fighting. What did they say? I'll wait. You know, he hasn't. Second, he's not on the rules committee, so he's not the one putting in. I love that one. They blame the lack of fighting on Bettman. Okay. Like, just buffoons. Anyway. So they all fight, they all get kicked out, whatever. And then I gotta Alex sent me so Rempe's getting shit on. Oh, Jesus. So he didn't fight McDermott the other game, and everyone shit on him, and I came on here and I shit on him too. Like, yeah, you gotta fight him, kid. You can't be doing that shit, blah, blah, blah. Okay. Well, here comes the rematch. Rempe knows it's going down. He has to fight him. And he did. People are still shitting on him. All this Rempe, I don't know. He never wins a fight. Blah, blah, blah. I love the keyboard probers. Apparently, there's a lot of tough guys in the comments section. A lot of contenders in the comments section. You know, whatever. I would hope McDermott would beat Rempe. A little more experience. But it was fine. The rest of the fight, whatever. I mean, if everyone wants to jump up and down and somehow yell that they think fighting's back, then okay. Well, fighting's really up this year. Oh, great. It's up from nothing to next to nothing. Oh, right on. Meanwhile, the Quebec Junior League had 25 fights this year. But yeah, no, the goons are coming. Yeah, sure. Guy led the Western League with 11. So that's your big Junior League where all the fighters are coming from. Let it go, folks. But hey, you know, I don't have, I'm with, when it comes to Matt Rempe, I'm for and against him. I don't, hey, good for him. I mean, I laugh at all these buffoons that have, you know, are completely mind washed by the fucking hockey news and mainstream hockey media. If he keeps fighting, he's going to be brain dead, like Bouchard, and he's going to kill himself. And, oh, shut the fuck up. Like, these guys have more fights in a fucking junior training camp than Rempe's had in his life. So, but the hockey news said, so they got to believe that horse shit. You know, good on Rempe. He fought McDermott like he had to. Oh, it's so great after McDermott respects them. They're just so respectful warriors. It's like, who gives a fuck? What do you have to respect him for? Who cares? Like, whatever. But we got to be nerds about fighting now. We got to have respect and whatever. We have to have a mutual fucking circle jerk and whatever. Okay. I laughed. Somebody, actually, it was Jody Bitterman brought it up today. He was watching some old hockey fights and he was saying, oh, I can't believe the amount of times they punch guys when they're down. And that's all they put. But then somebody in the comment section goes, oh, yeah, no, it was dirty back then and no respect. And I'm like, who the fuck? No, they were fighting to win fucking fights. The end of it, it's a goddamn fist fight. Like, we're trying to win here and, like, intimidate and, like, bully people and win fights. I mean, I don't know when this horse shit became, we have to have bum taps and bro hugs and, yeah, good job, bro. You know, oh, respectful warrior. Oh, fuck, it's embarrassing. Fight fans are fucking embarrassing. At the end of the day, it's just like, fuck. I love that one. Oh, I don't like him. He's mean. Oh. He's an enforcer and he's mean. Oh. Oh, yeah, well, that's a real shame. what are we doing? Like, seriously. So Rempe was like I said, villain number one, villain. The, you know, when he didn't fight McDermott, so he's a piece of shit. So then in the rematch, he fights McDermott. No, oh, he's still a piece of shit. Like, it's, oh, like, just, oh. All right. It's like, so the guy, Montreal guy, runs a Toronto guy. Reeves goes out and fights him. Oh, Reeves an asshole and he's a bully. Oh, because this, he's out of his weight class. And this, oh, he wouldn't have done it if Wipe the Sheriff was playing. And oh, like I said, you know, like Alec and I just laugh about it. So when they fight, when they don't fight, they're assholes. When they do fight, they're assholes. And oh, shit, you just can't win. I don't know what hockey fans want, man. I have no idea. There we go. There's where we are. 40 minutes in, that's where we are, folks. That's what I've come with that conclusion. We don't know where we're at. Oh, we're hitting stop start. But here we go. We'll All right, well, let's get into this list from Tim, shall we? I'm done talking about Reeves and Wi-Fi and the rest of them. I don't care. Oh, I might have lost some followers on Twitter tonight, though. Oh, well. I gotta check my messages. Tim sent me a link there. Okay.
The future of your business...
Oh. It's YouTube, so Wix. Hold on.
You get advanced AI cap.
Oh, we got some music here. I gotta shut the volume off on this. Okay. Are we still recording here? Yes, we are recording. Okay. It is the 100 toughest players in NHL history, and it is by the general from the account known as General Knowledge Geek. He has 206 subscribers. Tim, what are you doing watching this nonsense? Well, I shouldn't call it nonsense. Maybe it's a good list. I don't know. I'm kind of thinking, though, if Tim is sending this to me, it's not good. I have not watched this video. How long is this video? 6 minutes. Well, I'll probably, I don't know how they're going to do this, but I'm going to try to kind of fast forward through it. We'll talk about a few things. I mean, obviously we're going to break down all 100 guys that they have. I can already see them by the screenshot for the first three. We're off to a hot start, but, I want to thank Tim for taking the time to send this to me. But here we go. Here we are. The 100 toughest players in NHL. Well, hold on. I should read the description. Who are the toughest players in the NHL history? From Gordie Howe to Wayne Gretzky. Hold on. We got to start this again. Who are the toughest players in NHL history? Question mark. From Gordie Howe to Wayne Gretzky to Zdeno Chara, the NHL has seen its fair share of enforcers and agitators. Okay. I don't know what Wayne Gretzky had to do with that comment, but all right. But who reigns supreme as the toughest of them all? In this video, we count down the top 100 toughest players in NHL history based on a combination of factors, including fighting toughness, penalty minutes, intimidation factor, and overall physicality. We'll also take a look at some of the most iconic fights and hits in NHL history. So whether you're a fan of old school brawl or modern day game, this video is sure to have something for you. Tune in and find out who the toughest players in NHL history really are. Alright, well, here we go. The General Knowledge Geek is whose YouTube video it is, as I said earlier, and we're going to get into the 100 toughest players. Well, he's already throwing Gretzky into the mix here, so we're off to a hot start. Okay, Tim, I don't know what you're sending me here, but... let's get into it. Like I said, I'm not going to break down all 100, but as the video goes on, I'm sure I'll be fast forwarding a little bit, but we'll see where we're at, and we'll comment on certain things. But first of all, I like the fact they went 100. They're going up from 100 to down to 1. So 100 was Burt Wilson. Yeah, there we go. 99, Zdeno Konopka. 98 was Brian Spencer. Okay, how are we doing this video here? So I hit play. They're just going to scroll. All right. Yvonne Lambert. Owen Nolan, 96. Okay. I always liked Owen Nolan. Chris King, 95. Ronnie Stern, 94. I will say Ronnie Stern, undercover toughness. Ronnie Stern, Mike Eagles. Check out that fight on YouTube. Tremendous. 93, Eddie Shack. Get off the track. Here comes Shack. All right. 92, Ed Hospodar. Boxcar Hospodar. 91, Hound Dog Bob Kelly. Oh, I may as well go through all 100. Chris Neal at 90. I love me some Chris Neal. Matthew Barnaby, 89. I don't think I'd have Barnaby ahead of Neal in terms of fighting. I like both guys and fighting in terms of fighting prowess. I would have Neal ahead of Barnaby. Rob Ramage at 88. Okay. Paul Holmgren, 87. Homer. You know what? I got to say with Holmgren, not that I've admitted this before on episodes. When it comes to 70s and early 80s stuff, I'm certainly no expert. Well, expert. I hate using that word. My knowledge. I know Holmgren. I've seen him fight. I have 70s footage. But my kind of whatever. My fight fan. Real knowledge and what I could really, you know, is 90s. I'm a 90s guy. But Paul Holmgren, in the fights that I've seen, tremendous. Yeah, bad dude. Sean Antoski at 80. Well, Sean Antoski at 86. All right. Well, from what I've seen, I wouldn't have Antoski at a Holmgren from what I've seen. But all right, there we go. 86 is Sean Antoski. What are 85? Darren Kimball. I love me some Darren Kimball. Toe to toe, one of the a highlight reel fighter. Darren Kimball is actually the one that kind of put the end to the Troy Crowder the reign. Because of course Crowder had beaten Probert, and that was the big, you know, everybody was waiting for the rematch, and Crowder's got Chikrin and all those guys who's going through the league, and the rookie was undefeated and everything else, and he ended up fighting Kimball, and Kimball got him right before the Probert fight. But, Darren Kimball, you know, Western League guy, played in Prince Albert here, tremendous, Huge fan of Darren Kimball. Gary Howard at 84. The Toy Tiger. I love watching the 70s stuff. I mean, for as badass as Gillies and Nystrom were, I mean, Howard was a tremendous third there. You know, that triple threat. Yeah, solid for sure. So Howard at 84. Who we got? Kurt Fraser at 83. I wish there was more Kurt Fraser footage out there, but... you know, with Vancouver and stuff. But yeah, Kurt Fraser's a bad dude, man. Great player, too. King Kong Korat. Holy, can I... How many fucking Rolling Rocks have I had? Jerry Korab. King Kong Korab is what I was trying to say. At 82. Ken Baumgartner at 81. I think I'd have Kenny higher than 81. But Baumgartner is a real technician. I love me some Ken Baumgartner. And they got Bookaboom at 80. Well, I'd have Baumgartner ahead of Bookaboom. Yeah, all right. This Tim UW with this list. I mean, not that the names have been... Because, I mean, really, if somebody sat me down with a piece of paper and a pen and they're like, yeah, do your top 100. I mean, I'm sure people would go through it and start laughing at me, too. I mean, it's hard to think of 100 guys, but... I'm not having Jeff Bookaboom in front of Ken Baumgartner, but and I like Bookaboom, but I mean, come on now. But all right, 79 Ted Green, that's before my time. I mean, okay, 78 Rick Tocchet, Philadelphia Flyers all time penalty minute leader. Here they got him in a Penguins. The pitcher is a Penguins guy with a bad Yofa bucket. The Tocchet Rocket. There you go, 78. There you go. Milan Lucic, 77. I like Lucic. I've been a fan of Lucic since he was with the Giants and as a rookie. Okay, hold on. Ken Linsman? Yeah, Ken Linsman at 76. You get Ken Linsman in front of Lucic and Rick Tocchet and Gary Howitt and Holmgren and... Wow. All right. All right, but Chris Simon, 75. Holy shit! this list. Well, if Chris Simon's 75, I'm excited to see what the top 10 is going to look like here in the top 15. Oh, this is tremendous. Who the general knowledge geek? Well, your knowledge is general. I'll put it that way. 75, Chris Simon. All right. Dennis Hextall, 74. All right. Earl Siebert? Who the fuck is Earl Siebert? I mean, you know, hold on. I'm hitting pause here. I'm Googling Earl Siebert. Hold on, Earl. While I Google you. All right. Well, he was born in Kitchener, Ontario in 1911. 6'2", 200. He had been a big dude back then. Rangers, Blackhawks guy. Played 653 games in the NHL. Okay, I mean, his last game was 45-46 with the Detroit Red Wings. He played 18 games. All right. Is there anything that comes up in news that I should know about? Earl Siebert. Let's look up his Wikipedia. I'm curious. Playing career. Important member of the 33 Rangers and 38 Blackhawks. An accident during the 37 game cast shadow over Siebert's great career. Siebert and the legendary Howie Morenz became tangled up behind the Chicago net. Morenz felt awkward against the boards and broke his leg in several places. Morenz died in hospital from complications from the injury. Several years later, after his retirement, Siebert... Okay. Siebert died flying. Oh, all right. Well, apparently he's inducted to the Hockey Hall of Fame in 1963. Well, goddamn, there we go. Earl Siebert. We're learning things here today, folks. I don't know who that is. All right. Brian Marchment, 72. Rest in peace, Brian Marchment. Mush. Don Selesky, Big Bird, 71. All right. Mick Fecoda at 70. I will say with Fecoda, he catches a lot of shit. Dude fought everybody, though. I mean, there's no, you know, No denying that. As I said earlier in the show, Joel Lazito there at the Coliseum Chronicles, great interview with Mick Fakota. It's a multi-part series. Go listen to that. You might get a new appreciation for Mick Fakota. Stan Jonathan at 69. As John Cherry said, Stan Jonathan was so tough, he had a 15-stitch cut, and he didn't bleed. Stan Jonathan there at 69. You got Stan Jonathan at 69. All right. Well, there we go. We got Shane Corson at 68. And you know what? I like Shane Corson, power forward. What NHL team wouldn't want a Shane Corson? But to put him in front of Fakota or Jonathan and Simon and, yeah, this, I'm telling you, Tim, with this list, Why 67 all Samuelson. Wow, there we go. We got off Samuelson in front of Stan Jonathan. That's where we are with this list. 66 Bugard. All right. Todd Bertuzzi, 65. So we got Todd Bertuzzi in front of Bugard and Chris Simon. Oh, this is awesome. I love this. This is great. I always say with the list, this is just funny at this point. 64, Phil Russell. The picture they used for Phil Russell is tremendous. 63, Zdeno Chara. Well, I'm surprised with this list they don't have Chara in the top five. The fact that Chara's ahead of any of these people is, all right, well, I could be in front of all, but like I said, with tough guys, okay. 62, Brian Watson. There you go, Bugsy. 61, Andre the Moose DuPont. 60, Barry Beck. I know Barry Beck came out a junior with a huge rep, and he has a huge rep as a fighter. I know he's injured a lot, though, in Colorado and stuff, but when he's with the Rangers, did a lot of wrestling at some of his fights. I'm certainly not going to go on about what a Barry Beck expert I am, because I'm certainly not, but I know he's a big guy. He's a big guy by today's standards, but massive back then. Wore the C in New York, solid player. Number 59, Forbes Kennedy. All right. 58, Glenn Hall. What? To play goaltender in the NHL with no helmet, that is a next level of toughness that can't be described without a doubt. But who are the toughest? In this video, we count on the toughest player based on a combination of factors, including fighting toughness, penalty minutes, intimidation factor, and overall physicality. Okay, well, I don't know where a goalie fits into what your description is, but all right, here we go. 57, Mike Peluso. Peluso always gets shit on. I like Mike Peluso. I don't think I'd have him 57, but I'm down with Mikey P. Steve Durbano, 56. Yeah, the crazy lunatic. I haven't seen enough of Derby stuff, but he definitely, the reputation precedes him. Crazy dude. I'd love to see some of his WHA shit. That was, I know Terry Ryan Sr. has told some pretty good Durbano stories from back in the junior days, but Derby. Basil McRae, 55. I know Al's pumped. Razzle Basil. Basil, his fight card's tremendous. He fought everybody. It's hard to say. I wouldn't rank him at 55. I've never done a top 100. I don't know where I would put Basil McRae. Sure. I wouldn't have him ahead of Chris Simon, though. I know that. 54, Reg Fleming. All right. I know Reg Fleming back in the... I'm not making light of it. I know back in the day, Reg Fleming had a huge rep. Again, not that I've seen Reg Fleming fight, but had a huge rep. I think he kind of had a feud going with Howe, actually. 53, Bob Plager. I know he, obviously, a hero in the St. Louis area. There's no footage, right? So like a Fleming and Plager and all these guys, and it's hard to. And like Forbes Kennedy and we go on and on about some of these guys and it's like, who was it? Earl Siebert and stuff. I can't say anything bad about any of these guys. It was, when there's no footage and stuff, it's so hard, to like air quote rate these people. But anyway, 52, Rob Blake. Well, tremendous hitter. I don't think Rob Blake had, I mean, you could probably count on one hand how many fights he was in. Dan Maloney, 51. I know a lot of the old timers on the message boards really pumped Dan Maloney's tires. Again, before my time. So I can't speak on his fighting prowess. I mean, I could just go by what I've read from the old, like, he had a really big rep. I think his shoulders were really shot. Was it Toronto years? Yeah, so, but, yeah, I mean, I can't speak on Dan Maloney, but I know he had a huge rep back in the day for sure. 50 was Nick Fetio. Again, I've been critical of Fetio on this channel before. Just, you know, the number of, like, kind of square off fights that he has, you know, so, and again, I mean, you know, it's all up to interpretation, right? Some people have, like, Fetio and they're, like, their top five, top 10. Again, before my time, really, the stuff I've seen, you know, but certainly massive rep in New York for sure. 49, Donald Brashear. Wow. I mean, all right. I'm not a Brashear guy at all. I'm not a fan of Brashear's, but at the same time, I've always said I give the devil his due. Brashear would be my top, in my top 10 for sure of all time, probably top 5. Again, not a fan of Brashear, but to have him at 49 is fairly ridiculous. But this list is fairly ridiculous. Yeah, 48, Tim Hunter. I'd probably have Hunter higher than that. I was never a really big Hunter fan in terms of his style or anything, but again, tremendous fight card. Did it for a long time. When it came to the Battle of Alberta, I mean, you know, Semenko and blah, 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 but Hunter handled Semenko without a problem, to be completely honest, at least in the battles that I've seen. But yeah, Hunter, tremendous. One of the, you know, back in the, you know, early 80s guys, but he was a big workout guy, which sounds so funny now because, you know, they're machines now. But Hunter was really a trailblazer in terms of fitness and stuff. Yeah, Tim Hunter, there you go, 48. Yeah, I think I'd have Meyer in that. Keith Magnuson, 47. Always a gamer, you know. Well, 46, Jim Kite. It's funny they have Kite and Magnuson side by side. Again, I'm never going to knock Jim Kite. I mean, he'll, you know, good night, Jim Kite, and all that stupid shit. I mean, you know, suffered some, you know, Jim took some knockouts from Kite and all that, or from Coaster, pardon me, Ray, and, you know, whatever. But Kite knew his role, man. Had a great rivalry with Dave Brown. Dropped Dave Brown. TKO there. Kite was a tough dude. He's admitted himself after the Coaster fight, he was probably never the same. But Jim Kite in the early to mid-80s was a force in the NHL with the Jets. And he did it for a long time. And, I know people will, you know, like I said, good night, Jim Kite, and all that stupid shit. But Jim Kite, man, nothing but respect for Jimmy. 45, Tony Twist. I mean, you know, guy was one of the top guys in the league for a number of years in his prime. I mean, I always say when you can get guys that are really good fighters like Reed Simpson and Darren Langdon, etc., to alter their fight styles, and I don't want to say bail on fights, but fight different and like cover up and stuff. Yeah, you're somebody, and I don't think I need to sell. Obviously, I don't need to sell anybody on Tony Twist, but yeah, one of the top fighters in the era, and it's a shame he got hurt because he was getting ready to sign with Philly. Could you imagine fucking Tony Twist in Philadelphia? Whew. But yeah, bad dude, man. That was number 45. Number 40, you know. So you got Jerome McGinley at 44. And I mean, I like Jerome McGinley, but what the fuck are we putting him in front of? Tony Twist and Chris Simon and Jim Kite and all these. What are we doing here? Fuck. 43 Harold Snaps. Oh, the hits keep coming. And that's the problem when I do these lists. I mean, I always like the list to be funny and we can have some laughs and whatever. I'm not knocking these. I like these guys. Like, I love Again Alive. He's one of my favorite power forwards. You know, 42 here, we got Willie Plett. 41, Gino Ogic. Plett was a great power forward as well. Very underrated for as good as he was. But, I mean, we got a Ginla in this conversation? Come on. You know, like, what are we doing? Like, if we're talking about straight-up fighting ability, like, Ginla's not in the top 100. Or if he is, he's in the 90s, you know, like, but we're going to put Jerome McGinley in front of, like, who have I talked about so far? Howitt, Tockett, Simon, and Toski, and Holmgren, and all these, and Stan Jonathan. Really, Jerome McGinley in front of Stan Jonathan? Who come fuck comes up with these lists with, like, that's the thing with these, I mean, like I said, I love doing the list, and I mean, I know why Tim sent this to me now after going through this. We're at 41 and you're 44, we're at a Ginla. I can't wait to see number one. You know, what's Probert, you know, top 20 guy? But, we joke, so we have fun with the lists and stuff, but it's like, in all seriousness, like, who comes up with this shit? And with a straight face makes a YouTube video. Like, I mean, I have a YouTube channel. Please subscribe, Fourth Line Voice on YouTube. Love to have if you subscribe, watch a video you like, hit the thumbs up. But seriously, though, like, I'd make a video like this. It's like, if I'm in a top 100, you know, obviously, well, it wouldn't look like this. But, I mean, I guess it's to gain attention and whatever. Like I said, you know, if I'm going to attach my name to a list or... I was going to say with a podcast, but yeah, this episode's been a real gem. But no, seriously, I mean, we joke and stuff. And we, you know, I mean, you know, you guys tune into the podcast to have a little bit of fun, I would think. But in all seriousness, it's like, if you're going to put your name on something, have some fucking respect, some self-respect. I mean, what are we doing here? Like, this is what we're... Okay, whatever. So we had Ogic at 41, Willie Plett at 42, Harris Snaps at 43. Okay, we're scrolling here. Oh, Dave Manson at 40. All right. Sure. Darian Hatcher at 39. Again, like, Manson and Hatcher, like, tough enough guys, but holy shit. Like, I mean, I know there's a certain person out in Chicago that would have Manson in the top three, but... you know, if we're being serious and we're not telling jokes here, I mean, what are we doing? Oh, we got Semenko at 38. Like we're going to have a serious discussion about Darian Hatcher and Semenko and Dave Manson. Like, we're juggling the three of them that we're to put in the top 30. All right. 37, Stu Grimson, and they have the wrong pitcher. They have a pitcher, Scott Walker. All right. 36, Red Horner. Well, I mean, see, that's the thing with Red Horner. I mean, one of the big penalty minute leaders in the early NHL years. I'm not going to knock the selection. Again, I don't know. Obviously, the person who made this list, myself, whoever, you can go back to any hockey historian, no one's seen Red Horner fight. I mean, we've read the newspaper articles. I know Steve from when Probert was king.com. He was on my show. We talked about Red Horner. He's gone through newspaper articles and read all about him and all his prowess and his fights and his craziness. And yeah, he led the NHL in penalty minutes for 10 straight years or something. But at the end of the day, I mean, it was obviously a different NHL than what we know in the 80s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. You know, Red Horner was a bad dude for his day, for his era. So I get why they put him in there, but no one knows what he actually fought like. So who knows? But, you know, like, do you have Red Horner in front of Stu Grimson? Well, you know, how do you do that, right? But, you know, and I mean, I always say with the era that you can't cross over eras. Like, you can't. Well, yeah, but if you put him back then, he'd kill everybody. Yeah, but that's not fair to the, you know, to the other guys. I mean, they didn't have that. There was that mindset, the training and blah, 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 the science and all that. You know, we don't have to get into that tonight. But, you know, so you can't really cross over eras. So it's hard when you put like the real old timers in the, I know, and I've had the same thing with the tournaments and all that. I mean, you want to include people and everything, but how do you cross over? It's hard, but yeah, Red Hornet. Okay, that's cool. I see Dave Brown at 35. Most people have him like top three. This guy's got him. If this guy's got Dave Brown at 35, I can't wait to see who the top five are. Oh, that's tremendous. So we got Dave Brown at 35. Oh, Tim, you're a beauty. I'm loving this. This is tremendous. 34, Jack Stewart. Yeah, Black Jack Stewart. Again, I've seen some of the Hockey Hall of Fame stuff and some of the stories about him and everything, but it's like, oh, all right. So Black Jack Stewart, we got him ahead of Dave Brown and Chris Simon. All right. 33, we got Al Secord. Al Secord is one of the best power forwards of all time. Put up tremendous stat lines and everything else. In terms of fighting ability, when I put him in front of Simon and Brown, and okay. We got Chris Simon, or Al Secord at 33, pardon me. Rob Ray at 32. I love me some Rob Ray, but I probably would not. Wow. I say that now. I mean, early on in his career, he took some lumpings, but later on, goddamn, Ray was solid, man. Had a lot of TKOs. Like I said, I love me some Rob Ray. Yeah, maybe 30. I mean, I wouldn't have him in front of Dave Brown, but, you know, all right. I'd have Ray in front of Secord. But I wouldn't have him in front of Chris Simon either. But, all right. Ray at 32. 31, Brendan Shanahan. Wow. Okay. I mean, Brendan Shanahan is one of the greatest power forwards of all time. Again, Dave, in front of Dave Brown and Simon and, all right. Number 30, Wendell Clark. Again, tremendous power forward. Love me some Wendell. One of my favorite players of all time. I would not have him in front of Dave Brown or Chris Simon, that's for sure. Or Stan Jonathan. Or really Rob Ray. I don't know if I'd have Clark in front of Rob Ray either. Or definitely not in front of Grimson. Yeah. Well, okay. 29, Tim Horton. Yeah, again, I'm pretty sure Tim Horton was not known for his fighting. I know he was a big guy and a big workout guy. You know, and physically he was strong and everything else. I don't think he really fought that much, but makes a great apple fritter. 28, Kenny Danico. You know, like Ken Danico, solid blue liner, you know, glassing out, salty motherfucker, but... Are we going to have him at 28? 27, Marty McSorley. I'm down with Marty. I love me some Marty. I'd have him in my top 10. You know, yeah. 26, Theo Fleury. What are we doing? Why is he even on this list? 25, Doug Gilmore. 24, Ron Hextall. Oh, this list is getting better by the minute. I mean, Fleury and Gilmore were undersized guys, great players. Fleury should probably be in the Hall of Fame. I personally think he's a 10-point wing nut these days. But regardless of that, in terms of hockey ability, he was tremendous. You know, for being 5'5" or whatever, he was fearless and ran everybody and whatever. But what are we doing here? Gilmore, I was never a Gilmore fan, but when he got to Toronto, he was just, you know, tremendous. That 93 run there with, yeah, I mean, he played great and yeah, I mean, but why is he on this? I don't know why he's on this list. And then Hextall, I mean, Hextall was dirty. I mean, blocker and swung a stick and everything else. I mean, was he in a grand total of 3 fights? You know, I mean, all right, sure. I mean, Billy Smith, top 5, like. All right, so Hextall 24, Dale Hunter 23. I mean, I know Hunter is up there. Was he second all time in penalty minutes? And he fought 100, you know. But yeah, whatever. Claude Lemieux at 22. Like, okay. Well, Darren McCarty in the top 10. If Claude Lemieux is 22, Darren McCarty's got to be in the top 10. Again, Claude Lemieux. I'd love to have him on the team. I hate the dude, but I mean. if you're a GM, you want that guy on your team. You want him, especially at playoff time. I mean, the guy was clutch, without a doubt. 21, Billy Smith. Well, there you go. I mean, if you want to talk about a fighting goaltender, I mean, yeah. I mean, I'd certainly have, at least they have Smith in front of Hextall. Smith would take all the shit off and fight, as evidence from the Lanny McDonald video and stuff. So, okay. But again, why are we having goalies on this list? Why is Claude Lemieux on this list? Well, I don't know. Oh, so many questions. This is tremendous. Billy Smith at 21. What do we got here at 20? Pierre Bouchard, or Butch Bouchard at 20. All right. Yeah, Butch Bouchard at 20. I said we were going to go through the whole 100, and here I am going through the whole 100. But, I mean, this list has been captivating. 19, Chris Nyland. I always say with Nyland, I keep pausing it here, folks, on the video. But just so I can talk about guys. But growing up, I hated Nyland. To this day, I probably couldn't tell you why, though. I don't know if there was a certain reason why I didn't like him or whatever. For some reason, he bugged me. But then I, again, saw the documentary, got a newfound respect for him. And obviously, as I got older, I respected what he did. 19, Chris Nyland. All right. 18, Ty Domi. Yeah, all-time fight leader. Yeah, I'm not going to knock Ty Domi. I mean, how can you? 17, Tiger Williams. Again, great power forward. A lot better player than people give him credit for. Bunch of 30-goal seasons. Fearless. Fought everybody. Was he a great fighter? No, I don't think so. But, you know, he'd wrestle and shit. But, I mean, he'd always go for it. I mean, he was fearless. 16, Terry O'Reilly. Yeah, Taz. I mean, up and down, great leader. Again, another power forward guy. I think people forget he had 90-some points 1 year. Left-handed, whirling dirt. Taz is a perfect nickname for him. That's how he fought. Love Terry O'Reilly. Number 15, Joey Koser. Hit like a freight train. His hands paid the price. But, I mean, yeah, Joey Koser is one of the baddest dudes of all time. So, definitely. Clark Gillies, 14. Yeah, one of the greatest power forwards of all time in the Hall of Fame. Wish he had fought more, but one of the baddest dudes to do it. I was more of a Nystrom guy than a Gillies guy in terms of fighting, but yeah, Gillies was kind of the old Jethro, was the don't wake him up kind of thing, but yeah, I could throw down. Chris Pronger at 13. Well, Pronger was dirty. Great player, Hall of Fame player and everything else, but I mean, Pronger couldn't fight worth a shit, so I didn't know what he's on this list for. Cam Neely at number 12. I mean, Cam Neely's probably my favorite player of all time. Cam Neely could fight left-handed. Again, 12th all-time in terms of fight? No. But top 100? Probably, I guess, but he'd be nowhere near 12. But, I mean, I love me some sea bass, but no. Chris Chelios, 11. Okay. Again, Hall of Fame player, played forever, is physical, you know, but no, Chelios couldn't fight worth a shit. Probert's number 10. Well, we got... Oh, hold on, I gotta take a drink. All right, so Bob Probert's number 10. One spot ahead of Chris Chelios. Okay, well, you got Probert at 10. What was Brown? Brown was 40-something or something. Tim, did you just make this list up to just mess with me? This is tremendous. Probert at 10. All right, well, I can't wait to see the rest of this. So here we go. Here we go, folks. The top 10 of the 100 toughest players in NHL history, according to General Knowledge Geek on YouTube. Here we go. Probert 10. Who's number 9? Bobby Clark. All right. I mean, great captain, Hall of Fame player. I mean, great player, but as I always say with these lists, it's like, okay, how are we basing this? Well, they've laid out the description of how they came up with this. So, you know, how they came up with this list. So I'm like, I don't know why Bobby Clark's on it, but all right, here we go. Bobby Clark's at 9. Larry Robinson at number 8. Old Big Bird. Again, Hall of Fame defenseman. I mean, one of the best defensemen of all time. Physical guy, could hit. would fight when he needed to, but I mean, the dude averaged 2 fights a year. Lived off the rep of fighting Dave Schultz, landed a couple punches and pulled Schultz down, and apparently that all of a sudden for the rest of his career that made Larry Robinson the absolute killer. I don't know if he had fought more, maybe he could make an all-time list, but for someone that fought, like literally fought twice a year, I don't know how we could have him at 8. But sure, okay. Larry Robinson at number 8 in front of 2 spots in front of Probert. Number 7, Scott Stevens. Well, I like Scott Stevens. He had 100, you know, plus career fights. Fought a lot more in Washington than he did later in his career. In New Jersey, he didn't really fight too much. Obviously, known more for being a physical guy and a hitter than a fighter. You know, maybe later, maybe top 100, maybe, I guess. But, no, to have him in front of Probert and Brown and Simon and all that's just... this list is ridiculous, but okay, so we got Scott Stevens at 7. Who we got here at 6? John Ferguson. Why? Well, he's obviously known, kind of referred to as the original enforcer. Solid player, couple 20 goal seasons. Again, different time back then, but you know, won his fights. It was intimidating with the Habs, and it was what the Habs needed. Again, there's a few Ferguson videos that are on, or a few fights that are on video, so, and he wins them, okay, but I mean, I can't, okay, but again, he ushered in that kind of enforcer mindset. You know, he's a trailblazer in the 50s, so, you know, he's sort of the godfather of enforcing, really, so I can see why he's on the list. Number 5, Dave the Hammer Schultz, again, ushered in kind of the goon era, air quotes, the gang fighting in the brawls. I'm sure if you were a fan outside of Philly, you hate him. Hey, Saskatchewan guy, I got to stick up for my boys here. I always kind of, whenever somebody asks me about a Mount Rushmore type thing, I really want to always put him on it because, again, much like Ferguson, it was sort of that 70, like, I mean... He brought in that era, and you know, and he was sort of the poster boy for that 70s brawling goon, air quote goon style hockey, Broad Street Bullies. It was centered around Schultz, and so yeah, Dave Schultz, number 5. Who do we got at 4? Terrible Ted Lindsay. Yeah, I mean. Yeah, again, Hall of Fame player, everything else. I think he was more noted for his stick than his actual fists. But different time back then. They didn't. It's not like they didn't fight 25, 30 times a year. They fought like a handful of times. Again, I don't think there might be some video of Lindsay fighting here and there, maybe. But overall, I don't recall seeing any, so I can't comment on Ted Lindsay's fighting prowess. But okay, there we go. We're trying to. You know, we're getting the Ferguson, Schultz, Lindsay. Well, you're getting a whole bunch of guys. Well, I mean, there are some Schultz footage out there, but you know what I'm saying. Like I said, again, I had a Probert Brown in them. Oh, it's all right. Number 3, Eddie Shore. Okay, so I'm going to keep pausing it, like, for the final 3 here. Eddie Shore, like, I don't know who the 1 and 2 are, cutting it off before the video gets there. The Darth Vader of hockey, as Don Cherry calls him. Again, no one's seen Eddie Shore fight. His reputation is massive. Old-time hockey, Eddie Shore. You know, almost killed Ace Bailey. In terms of actual drop the gloves, fist, mano-a-mano fist fight, who knows. But apparently we're just going really heavy on the old-timers here. So that's the thing. I mean, no one can dispute. It's one of those can't be for or against them kind of things because it's like no one has any video to back any of this up. But again, no one has any video to dispute this either. So, okay, Eddie Shore 3. Let's get to number 2, Mark Messier. All right, Mark Messier. You know, great captain, great Hall of Fame player, everything else. I'm going to be complete. I've seen Messier fight. Messier couldn't fight. He'd fight now and again. I think he had 40-some fights in his career. Obviously fought really early in his career. As he got later on, he didn't fight very much at all. The fights I have seen, you know, whatever. He's not... He's not a fighter. I wouldn't have many. I wouldn't have him anywhere near a top 50, let alone 100. And I certainly wouldn't have him at number two. But obviously, tremendous player, one of the greatest captains of all time, and blah blah blah, all that. But to have Mark Messier at number two, come on now. I'm dying to. Well, I kind of think I know who number one is going to be. I'll hit play here. We'll get it over. Yeah, okay. Gordie Howe is number one. Sure. I mean, I think when somebody totaled it up, what was it, 20-some fights Howe had in his 20-some year career? And again, everybody's going to, Fontenotto. That's all anybody can ever talk about when they mention Gordie Howe's fighting prowess. Fontenotto, he got Lou. Okay. That's one. I don't know what more to say about that list. Tim, that was a real beauty that you hit me with there. So there we go. The top 100 tough guys, according to General Knowledge Geek. Thank you, Tim, for sending that list. And, that was good times. How do you break that down? I mean, you really can't. Again, all this stuff is up to opinion. And I mean, I guess no one can be right or wrong, so to speak. But that was wrong. Anyway, folks, there is your Sunday edition of the Fourth Line Voice. I'm sure this was just another riveting episode that's going to shoot up the charts. But, I always say with you guys, there's hundreds and hundreds of podcasts out there. The fact that you chose to listen to mine, I greatly appreciate it. And, as I sit here at 11, almost midnight, Saturday night, staring out my window in the darkness and, enjoying Tim's list and ranting and raving and getting Montreal fans all worked up on Twitter. I'm just joking. I don't care. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. I really do. And I talked to a bunch of ex-players here in the last couple of days. I've really enjoyed talking to them. And, the fact that they're listening to the show and they enjoy it and everything else. And, I always say it's one thing if I'm going to bullshit and yell and scream. But when you get ex-players agreeing with you, I know I'm on the right track because that's who's got the knowledge. Those that did it. So I appreciate it, and I appreciate everybody that's listened. Please go back to the back catalog, my last episode with Robert, fellow fight fan, old Robert there. He was great. We did the 10 questions, and lots of fun, and I want to thank him for, he pimped the show out on his social media, so I appreciate that. And I told him he's big in China. You know, I think, what was he, 20-some in China and 110 or something in the United States or whatever it was. So that was cool. And, guys, thank you again for everybody that listened. And please get a hold of me on social media. My DMs are open, as the kids say. Or email me. And, I'd love to hear from you, good, bad, or otherwise. But other than that, guys, I'm going to get out of here. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you guys on Wednesday. Thanks, everybody.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?